Welcome to the Shortwave Report. I'm your host and producer, Dan Roberts. This Shortwave Report is a 30-minute review of news and opinion heard on a shortwave radio and the internet in Northern California. Listening to international broadcast at home is quite easy. You just need a shortwave radio with a schedule of English language broadcast or a computer with an internet connection. To help you with this, I'll announce times, frequencies, and website addresses at the conclusion of each series of stories. At the website for this show, that's outfarpress.com, you can listen to the past 5 shortwave reports, find advice for listening to shortwave at home, and find internet links for global news sources. Please check it out and tell a friend. In today's edition, you'll hear reports from Spanish National Radio, Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle, and Radio Havana, Cuba. We'll begin with Radio Exterior de España, or Spanish National Radio. Allison Hughes begins with a report on the annual World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. The theme of this year's meeting is sustainability and the climate emergency, and it began with Trump unsurprisingly denying the environmental crises. Greenpeace presented facts about massive banking investments in fossil fuel and coal development rather than renewable energy. The Edelman Trust Barometer polled people globally on whether capitalism does more harm than good. 5 protesters and 2 police were killed in Iraq on Monday, where daily demonstrations demanding early elections continue. Patrick Coburn wrote about the persecution of the Shia minority, who are seen as Iranian proxies. Sunni states like Saudi Arabia propagandize against Iran, blaming them for all the discontent in the region. Spanish National Radio.
The Swiss ski resort of Davos has seen the global elite gather for the 50th anniversary of the annual World Economic Forum. The theme of this year's summit, which brings together world leaders, oligarchs, and the CEOs of the biggest corporations, banks, and other businesses, is sustainability and the climate emergency. U.S. President Donald Trump, a climate change denier who withdrew his country from the 2015 Paris Accord, got the meeting off to a start on Tuesday.
This is a time for optimism. Fear and doubt is not a good thought process, because this is a time for tremendous hope and joy and optimism and action. But to embrace the possibilities of tomorrow, we must reject the perennial prophets of doom and their predictions of the apocalypse.
Donald Trump told those attending the World Economic Forum that his country would also join the attendees' climate initiative of planting 1 trillion trees.
The United States will join 1 trillion trees initiative being launched here at the World Economic Forum. 1 trillion trees.
The teenage climate activist from Sweden, Greta Thunberg, also in Davos, told Time magazine,
"The climate and environment is a hot topic right now, and a lot thanks to young people pushing. But of course, if you see it from another perspective, or pretty much nothing has been done since the global emissions of CO2 has not reduced."
Greenpeace has also accused many of the institutions in attendance at Davos of failing to live up to the forum's stated goal of, quote, improving the state of the world. The environmental group analyzed the portfolios of 24 of the banks present at Davos, some of the biggest in the world, and found that they had financed the fossil fuel industry, investing $1.4 trillion in oil, gas, and coal production over the past 4 years since the Paris Climate Accord. That 2015 landmark deal saw countries pledge to reduce CO2 gas emissions to prevent global warming above 2 degrees Celsius. The United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC, says that for a better-than-even chance of reaching the safer Paris cap of 1.5 degrees Celsius, oil and gas consumption would need to decline by 37% and 27% respectively by 2030. The IPCC says coal use must fall two-thirds by 2030 and to virtually zero by mid-century just to keep Earth on the 1.5 Celsius path. Global warming, it says, is fully in process. And carbon emissions are growing every year as global energy demands surge. The International Energy Association said that fossil fuel companies are still only investing 0.8% of their spending in renewable energy sources. The Greenpeace report found that just 10 banks had provided $1 trillion to fossil fuels since Paris. That same amount could pay to double the world's solar power capacity. It also identified three pension funds with at least $26 billion in fossil fuel holdings and alleged that four of the world's biggest insurance firms, AIG, Prudential, Sompo, and Tokio Marine, had no publicly disclosed policies to divest from fossil fuels. For the first time in its history, the Edelman Trust Barometer, an American communications and public survey company, has polled people about their opinions on capitalism. The company noted a growing awareness of social and economic inequality among the people it surveyed over the past 20 years. So this year, it asked the over 34,000 people in 28 countries from Western liberal democracies like the U.S. and France to those based on a different model, such as China and Russia, whether they agreed or disagreed with the statement, capitalism as it exists today does more harm than good in the world. A majority, 56%, agreed capitalism does more harm than good. On a national level, lack of trust in capitalism was highest in Thailand and in India, on 75 and 74% respectively, with France close behind on 69%. Majorities prevailed in other Asian, European, Gulf, African, and Latin American countries. Only in Australia, Canada, the United States, South Korea, Hong Kong, and Japan did majorities disagree with the assertion that capitalism currently did more harm than good. The survey also noted a class division, with the rich and college-educated much more likely to have faith in how things are currently being run. In Iraq, at least five protesters were reported killed on Monday when police fired tear gas canisters and live ammunition into the crowds. Two police officers were also killed and scores wounded in Baghdad and other cities around the country. Violent clashes erupted for a third straight day in Baghdad's Tehranis Square and in other southern cities, including Basra and the holy Shia cities of Kerbala and Najaf, with protesters hurling stones and petrol bombs at police who responded with tear gas and bullets. Protesters blocked roads and vowed to remain on the streets until the government met their demands to call early elections and nominate an independent prime minister. Demonstrators had expected an answer from the government by Monday and, receiving none, took to the streets. Iraqi state media reported that President Bahram Salih is expected to appoint a new premier this week to replace Abdel Abdul Mahdi, who was forced out by the demonstrations. Salih is reportedly choosing between three Iraqi politicians to lead a transitional government that would ease popular anger. Anti-government protests began on October 1st and gained momentum after brutal repression by security forces resulted in more than 500 demonstrators killed and 25,000 wounded. Iraq's mass demonstrations grew out of initial protests by university graduates over the lack of jobs. The unemployment rate for young workers in Iraq stands at over 25%. After the violent repression, the protests turned into a huge uprising against corruption in the government, which has resulted in the oil-rich country's poverty and the lack of essential social services and infrastructures, including water and electricity. The sectarian-based regime in Iraq was created by the U.S. military occupation following its 2003 invasion. 53% of Iraqis are vulnerable to food insecurity, while 7 million out of a population of 38 million live below the poverty line. There was a hiatus in the protests following a period of public mourning for the military leaders killed by the United States on January 3rd. That attack, in which the U.S. targeted the Iranian general Qasem Soleimani at the Baghdad International Airport, killed 9 other people, Shia in Iraq, Lebanon, Syria, Bahrain, Yemen, and Afghanistan, as if they were Iranian agents. Down the centuries, the Shia have been one of the most savagely persecuted religious minorities. They fear today that in the wake of the assassination of Qasem Soleimani, they are once again being demonized, as Donald Trump denounces all who oppose the United States in the Middle East as Iranian proxies. One of the most significant developments in the Middle East since 1945 has been the rise of the previously marginalized and impoverished Shia communities in many, though not all, of the region's countries, above all in Lebanon and Iraq, the latter becoming the first Shia-ruled state in the Arab world since Saladin overthrew the Fatimid dynasty in Egypt in 1171. Yet American and British politicians too often treat the rise of the Shia as if this was purely the outcome of unjustifiable Iranian interference. Western leaders find it convenient to adopt the anti-Shia propaganda line pumped out by Sunni states like Saudi Arabia, which persecutes its own Shia minority, and Bahrain, which has an even more oppressed Shia majority. In both countries, Shia demanding civil rights are punished as terrorists and alleged proxies of Iran. Much the same nonsense is being uttered today about an Iranian hand being behind anything the West and its allies do not like in the Middle East. When they claim to be targeting Iran, they are, in practice, targeting the Shia community as a whole, a mistake for which both they and the Shia are likely to pay a high price. That was a commentary by Patrick Coburn from The Independent.
Those reports by Allison Hughes were from Radio Exterior de España or Spanish National Radio. Spain may be heard at their website rtve.es and by podcast as REE. Next, Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle. More reporting on the 50th World Economic Forum in Davos, where there are strong divisions over both the economy and the climate. Trump lashed out at environmental activists like Greta Thunberg with alliteration harking back to Spiro Agnew. Greta responded that time has run out to prevent catastrophic climate change and that partial conservation measures are failing. The new European Commission President, Ursula von der Leyen, spoke about her recently announced European Green Deal to replace the fossil fuel-based model. Central Americans trying to migrate from Guatemala into Mexico were forcibly repelled by the Mexican National Guard, responding to threats of tariffs from Trump. Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle.
The 50th World Economic Forum is underway in Davos, and clashing visions of the world's economy and climate are taking center stage. U.S. President Donald Trump opened the elite gathering by hailing the strength of his country's economy and lashing out at climate activists, labeling them prophets of doom. Well, that drew a rebuke from Swedish climate campaigner Greta Thunberg. Once more, she warned that leaders like Trump have failed to protect her generation from climate chaos.
Leaving behind the heat of impeachment trials, few could blame Donald Trump for seeking out some medicinal alpine air. The US president was in Davos to address the global elite. But in this election year, his message was meant for households across the US.
America is thriving. America is flourishing. And yes, America is winning again like never before.
Just days after reaching a breakthrough with China, Trump seized the stage to bang the drum for his America First approach.
These agreements represent a new model of trade for the 21st century, agreements that are fair, reciprocal, and that prioritize the needs of workers and families.
But as well as business, this year's conference was supposed to deal with the growing climate crisis, with activists like Greta Thunberg summoned to rebuke the powerful.
You say children shouldn't worry. You say, just leave this to us. We will fix this. We promise we won't let you down. don't be so pessimistic. And then, nothing.
While Davos tuned in, one man was in no mood for lectures.
This is not a time for pessimism. This is a time for optimism. Fear and doubt is not a good thought process, because this is a time for tremendous hope and joy and optimism and action. But to embrace the possibilities of tomorrow, we must reject the perennial prophets of doom.
It was an image that left an impression.
You want to honest answer? It's a little bit odd. I thought it's because it's just mainly all about U.S.
I feel ill.
I think that leaders have to take care not only about themselves, but also about other nations, because we have the same collective planet.
He does some good things with his workers, but you've got to think beyond that, much more beyond that.
As Trump wrapped up the job of lauding his economic record, he left a flurry of questions in his wake, not least at what cost to the world he'll leave behind.
I'm joined now by my colleague, Javier Arguedas. He is covering the World Economic Forum for us. Good evening to you, Javier. I mean, we had the U.S. president today talking about prophets of doom and fortune tellers, of course, hinting at climate change there. What was the reaction?
Well, the reaction was, of course, a lot of criticism against the U.S. president, not only because he didn't really mention climate change whatsoever in his speech, essentially suggesting that it's completely irrelevant, but most of all because his idea is quite simple. His message was essentially, hey, we've had problems in the past before that we thought we couldn't solve, and we somehow figured it out, so why are we all so stressed about this? And that is something that, of course, is a slap in the face for all those organizations and scientists that are working very hard to find solutions to tackle the climate crisis, but especially it is being criticized because of one of the measures that we saw suggested by Donald Trump, which is planting a trillion trees. This has been compared to other very simple solutions like the border wall to Mexico, where many of the experts say this is a solution perhaps that can have an effect, but it's definitely not a solution for such a complex problem.
That's true. And we know that Greta Thunberg, she picked up on that comment in her speech today, saying planting trees is certainly not enough to stop climate change. She also said that combating climate change is not about politics. Let's take a listen to what she said.
From a sustainability perspective, the right, the left, as well as the center, have all failed. No political ideology or economic structure has been able to tackle the climate an environmental emergency and create a cohesive and sustainable world. Because that world, in case you haven't noticed, is currently on fire.
Yeah, the world's on fire. And Greta Thunberg there, you know, wise beyond her years, saying that an entire generation, not just one side of the political spectrum here, is responsible for climate change. What else did she say today?
Well, perhaps the most important message that she wanted to deliver is that time is running out. We have seen this before, but she at this time specifically mentioned the plans that are being announced as a reaction to speeches like hers and to the ones that say that there is a climate emergency. We see many companies and governments that announce plans where it says they are going to achieve some kind of goal by 2040, by 2050, but that of course includes a transitioning time for example, giving up fossil fuels. And she says that this has to happen immediately, that emissions have to be brought to zero right now, not to net zero, as has been suggested, meaning that the emissions are not going to grow. No, they don't have to stop growing. They have to stop completely. That is what Greta Thunberg wanted world leaders to hear. And the other thing, even though she did not mention Donald Trump directly, but there was a stark contrast aside from the tree plan that Donald Trump presented, and it is that she said that we cannot rely on technologies that have not been invented yet, hinting at Donald Trump's optimistic message that we will somehow figure everything out.
Well, it is day two of this year's World Economic Forum. It's underway now in Davos, Switzerland. Political and business leaders from around the globe are gathered for the four-day meeting. Its core theme this year is sustainability. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen has delivered a special address laying out the EU's environmental priorities, while also touching on concerns over falling economic growth in the bloc. While the forum comes as ongoing inequality and climate change fuel global skepticism over traditional capitalism.
The European Green Deal is our new growth strategy. The novelty and the difference to our fossil fuel-based model is that we will foster growth that is not extracting resources, but that gives back to the planet more than it takes away from it. And Europe has the first mover advantage.
Mexico's National Guard has fired tear gas at migrants trying to cross into the country from Guatemala. Hundreds of migrants began wading through the border river after authorities closed a border gate on a nearby bridge. Mexico is under pressure from Washington to crack down on illegal migration.
The quest to reach the U.S. is ending here for many. Mexico's National Guard forcibly repelled hundreds of migrants trying to storm its southern border. Officials also detained several hundred who may face deportation. Some parents and children reportedly got separated during the crossing. Most of the migrants are from Honduras and say they want to escape rampant poverty and crime. Last year, Mexico stopped allowing migrants to cross its territory with few restrictions. In June, officials vowed unprecedented steps to block crossings into the U.S. The country was responding to threats issued by President Donald Trump.
It's a disgrace.
He had tweeted in May, "We will impose increasing tariffs on all goods coming into our country from Mexico until illegal migrants stop coming through and into our country." Mexico's tougher stance appears to be having an effect. Since May, U.S. officials say there's been a steady drop in the number of people arrested or stopped at its southern border.
Those reports were from Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle, which may be heard at a combined audio-video website, dw.com. If you have questions or comments about the shortwave report or could make a donation for production cost of this unfunded program, I may be reached through the website and PayPal or by writing to Dan Roberts at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490. Almost all of the funding this freely distributed program receives is from individual listener donations. In fact, of the more than 100 radio stations rebroadcasting this show this year, only one, WFHB in Bloomington, Indiana, helped to finance it. Please, if you find this program beneficial, help support it. Through PayPal, you can create a monthly subscription to help cover my expenses. We will conclude with Radio Havana, Cuba. The Venezuelan foreign minister has warned that the U.S. maintains a permanent siege against Latin America and the Caribbean because it wants to seize natural resources and impose governments it can control. Over 600 indigenous leaders in Brazil issued a manifesto denouncing the genocide and ecocide planned by the far-right President Bolsonaro. In Puerto Rico, protesters called for the resignation of Governor Wanda Vasquez after a video was posted showing a warehouse full of undistributed relief supplies. Radio Havana, Cuba.
Venezuela's Foreign Minister Jorge Arreaza has warned that the United States maintains a permanent siege against Latin America and the Caribbean because it wants to seize its natural resources and impose governments that respond to its interest. The region is a constant target of attempted coup, destabilization, terrorism, economic, commercial, and banking blockades, diplomat told reporters. Arreaza illustrated his position with what has taken place in Bolivia and his own country since 2019 after the White House convinced several governments to recognize the lawmaker Juan Guaido and it supported violent acts to depose constitutional president Nicolás Maduro. Other attacks include unilateral sanctions and coercive measures, such as the economic and diplomatic blockade, which has prevented the imports of basic products and the development of the main economic sectors. Arreaza added that the comprehensive strategic alliance with China will diversify economic cooperation and seek to translate investment by the Asian giant into housing, increased oil production, and social welfare.
After a four-day meeting carried out in Piraku village at the Mato Grosso state in Brazil, over 600 indigenous leaders issued a manifesto denouncing the genocide, ethnocide, and ecocide planned by the far-right president Jair Bolsonaro. Quote, "The white man is very greedy," Chief Raoni Metutire said, and explained that the Brazilian government is threatening the survival of indigenous peoples with plans to allow commercial projects on their protected lands. Quote, "The current president is threatening our rights, our health, our territory," says the manifesto about Bolsonaro's intentions to liberate mining, agribusiness, and land leasing in the Amazon basin. International and national environment activists also fear that the Brazilian presidency's plans will speed up the destruction of the Amazonian rainforests. Despite the daily violence that this process has unleashed, indigenous peoples have not forgotten the importance of their struggle. Quote, "If we stand together, we can resist. They have the power of the state, but we have the strength of our ancestral waters, flowers, and lands," said Angela, the daughter of Chico Mendes, a famous trade union leader and environmentalist assassinated in 1988.
In Puerto Rico, protesters took to the streets to call for the resignation of Governor Wanda Vasquez after a video was posted showing undistributed emergency supplies in a warehouse in the city of Ponce. Many Puerto Ricans are still suffering after a 6.4 magnitude earthquake hit the island earlier this month, forcing thousands to leave their homes. Some of the supplies, which include bottled water, baby diapers, and propane gas, date back to 2017 and were reportedly intended as emergency aid for victims of Hurricane Maria. Governor Vasquez ordered an investigation and fired three members of her cabinet as public outrage mounted over the viral video.
Those reports were from Radio Havana, Cuba. Cuba's web stream worked well this week at their website radiohc.cu, but their podcast links were not updated. On shortwave, Cuba may be heard from noon to 1 p.m. at 15140 and from 5 p.m. to midnight at either 6000, 6060, 6100, or 6165. One of my goals in producing this show is to encourage people like you to listen to international broadcast, get a global perspective. You could use a shortwave radio at home. It's simpler than you might think, except that interference from electronic devices has made it much more difficult. If you use the internet, listen globally is even easier and noise-free. See the links at this program's website. Every Thursday evening, I post a new shortwave report at the website for this show. That's www.outfarpress.com. At my website, you can also listen to past shows. Please consider making a safe donation online through PayPal. There's a link at my website along with the podcast link and get advice for listening at home. The Shortwave Report, which is now in its 23rd year of production, remains free to rebroadcast upon notification. The Shortwave Report is produced and distributed off the electrical grid in Northern California using solar panels. I'm your host and producer, Dan Roberts. Thanks for listening.